morning we turn to the book of Philippians. I'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Paul writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from this first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think about all of you this way because you hold me in your hearts, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with compassion of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that on that day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced a harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and the praise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God, to which we say, thanks be to God." Will you please pray with me this morning? O most loving and gracious God, I ask that your Holy Spirit might be present among us, moving and stirring in our midst and in our hearts, to make the words of the scripture come alive and to connect with our lives. So God, may you open our hearts to see, may you open our ears to hear, may you open our minds to receive. Lord, may you speak to me and speak through me, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, God, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's June 1st. So in my mind, today marks the beginning of summer. It's when the pages of the summer calendar finally get to flip to June, when the weather becomes warm and it's sunny and it feels as though summer has officially kicked off. It's those months where we can see July and August in the calendar ahead, where we've circled the summer vacation on our calendars in red. School is almost out, and so it feels like summertime. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love summers in Michigan. It's my third summer here now in Michigan since I've moved from the Cornhusker State, and I've come to love these summers in Michigan where the sun shines brighter, the barbecues are always on the grill, ready for a party to happen. The cars are out cruising down Woodward, and have you gotten your cars out yet? It's these summer months in Michigan where we go up north to the cottages, we fish off the dock, we go boating and tubing and stargazing at night, we sip on lemonade and iced tea from our porches, Michiganders or Michiganians, however you call us, we figured it out. It's the perfect place for getaway vacations, for long summer parties, for festivals, for family reunions, for long parties. Michigan is the place to be. Can you just hear the Michigan commercial in your mind? Michigan in the summer is the best and the best. Because there's a spirit of overflowing joy that seems to just permeate through the memories and through the moments that we share. The spirit of overflowing joy becomes this melody that we embrace during summertime. And it's seen through children running through the sprinkler and laughing. It's seen as they jump off of diving boards into the swimming pool. This spirit of joy, overflowing joy, is seen as they toss water balloons at each other in delight. Summers in Michigan are fun, and they permeate this spirit of overflowing joy that's just contagious. Wouldn't you agree? If overflowing joy captures the spirit of Michigan in the summer, I think overflowing joy also captures the spirit of Paul's letter to the Philippians. The secret to the Philippians letter is joy. Paul's letter to the Philippians is filled with joy. It's packed with joy. And in this short little letter, Paul uses the word joy or rejoice 16 times in his text. So why is Paul so joyous, huh? If you're visiting with us for the first time today, or if you've been worshiping in Shine, or if you've just taken a couple of Sundays off and you've missed traditional worship, you might have this question. It's a good question. Why is Paul so joyous? Well, today we're continuing our sermon series on the book of Philippians. And this was a letter written by Paul, the apostle Paul, to the people in Philippi when he was in prison. Now, Paul was probably in prison in Rome. Scholars debate that, but let's say it was in Rome when he wrote this letter. And this letter was written maybe 20, 25, 30 years or so after the death and resurrection of Christ. And at this time, the early Christian community was growing and the gospel was spreading, and Paul, as a missionary, was diligently sharing the love and the grace of God wherever he went, including prison. Nothing could stop Paul from preaching. Nothing could stop Paul from preaching about Christ. He even took up the opportunity to preach so to those Roman guards that were looking after him. And Paul wasn't shy to prison. Did you know this? I think Lori and Gary have mentioned it in past sermons earlier, but he wasn't shy. Maybe three times, perhaps, says the book of Acts, that he was in prison, maybe more. The bottom line is you couldn't stop Paul from preaching. And he was an avid letter writer. Paul composed 13 of the epistles that are included in our New Testament. 13. These letters were a way for Paul to be able to continue to communicate with the Christians' communities, no matter what his circumstances or where he was. So Paul's letter to the Philippians was written for the entire Christian community in Philippi, and it would have been read during worship. It would have been something that they would have heard. So as I read the text this morning, that's what they would have experienced. They would have heard it in worship, and it would have begun with this salutation, this greeting, and it would have continued to the main body of his letter to them, and it would have concluded with a farewell greeting. Well, in true Paul style, he also added a piece of great thankfulness for the Philippians. The part that I just read this morning is a part where he gives great thanks and great joy for them. For them sharing in the gospel, and he gives thanks for the support that he's received, for the prayers that he's received. He gives thanks for this community. Again, let me read a word of thanks. Listen to it now with this in mind. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying for you with joy, in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from this day until now. And I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to think about all of you this way, because you hold me in your hearts. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with compassion of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love might overflow more and more with knowledge and insight to help you to determine what's best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced a harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Do you hear it in a new light maybe now? When you listen to this section of Paul's letter to the Philippians, you can hear the joy in his voice. You can hear the thankfulness bursting forth from his heart to this community. They've supported him, they've loved him, and he's thankful. He makes it clear. You can hear that. Paul is joyful for this community, even though he's given his current circumstances. Now, Paul wasn't always a man that was full of joy proclaiming Christ. Do you remember Paul's story to Damascus? Do you remember that from a Bible study or from another sermon that was preached? Do you remember his story? Well, Paul was previously known as who? Saul, right? He was previously known as Saul. And he spent much of his time persecuting the Christians for their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and believing he is the Messiah. So Saul's, or Paul's, story is recorded in the book of Acts. It's this story where Saul was traveling down the road to Damascus and in search of any believing Christian who followed in the way of Christ, so that he might bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. But on this journey, something unique happens. You know the story. On this journey, a light from heaven flashes around him. He falls to the ground. He hears a voice calling out to him saying, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" The voice was who? The voice was Jesus. And in that moment, Saul got up from the ground and he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see. And so meanwhile, a man named Ananias is sent to find Saul. But Ananias tries to refuse his calling from God, protesting that Paul's been persecuting Christians and he doesn't want to interact with them. You know the story. But of course, God twists his arm. Ananias goes to find Saul on Straight Street. The men meet, God's grace is present, and Aeneas touches Saul's eyes, and he's no longer blind, but these things like scales fall from his eyes. He once was blind, but now he can see. And from that moment, he has this conversion experience, embraces the joy of Jesus Christ, professes faith in him, and we come to know him as Paul. Well, this once persecuting man is now an all-in. He's all-in proclaiming the Christian faith. He's writing to the Philippians that they might also continue to proclaim the faith in Christ and experience this overflowing joy that he continues to have. He says, "This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more and more. May your love overflow more and more and more." So while summers in Michigan may naturally overflow with joy of all those things I talked about, with all the fun outdoor recreation and the fun times with family and friends, I think that overflowing love takes more work. I think it's easier to have overflowing joy, but I think having overflowing love and expressing true love for God and true love for other people, I think that is just a little bit harder work for us. I mean, think about it. Think about it for a minute. I think expressing overflowing love takes great work. It takes a conscious choice. So my husband and I recently took a trip to Disney World over Memorial Weekend to celebrate our anniversary. You've been to Disney World before? Yeah, I get a few nods. If you've been to Disney World, you know what I'm talking about. So we thought Disney World would be a great place. We thought for a long weekend we'd embrace the sunshine, the roller coaster rides, get our picture with Mickey, all that kind of fun getaway stuff. And I'd never been to Disney. My husband convinced me to go. We had a happy time experiencing this magical kingdom. So we get to the parks, and if you haven't been there, let me tell you, it's quite the place. You gotta go. There's something to do for all ages. Endless rides and shopping and parades and fireworks, all these magical, overflowing, bubbling up experiences of fun. Disney has it all. So on our second day of the trip, it's really hot. It's over 95 degrees. And so like everybody else that booked their trip for Memorial Weekend, we head to the water park for some entertainment that day. And I think everybody in that park decided to go to the water park. And so here we are, the sun's beaming down on us, and we decide to get in line. Afternoon was really hot. Lines at Disney are long. Oh, so we're sweating it out, really long lines at Disney. It takes us 45 minutes finally to get to the top of this line. And all of a sudden, now I love students because I work with middle school and high school students. I love youth. But all of a sudden, these two middle school students decide that they're going to take advantage of this hot, sunny day in this line. They're going to cut to the front. They're going to cut to the front of that line. And other people have been waiting nearly an hour, and my overflowing joy of this Disney fun experience is suddenly interrupted by a snarky comment I make under my breath and a whisper to my husband. Preachers aren't perfect. And I grumble in his ear, and I growl under my breath, and on this hot day at Disney, they've decided to cut, no fair. So all of a sudden, I hear God whisper in my ear, "Let it go. It's okay. Show them some love." Here I was at Disney having this overflowing, joy-filled, fun time, but I had to work on the overflowing love thing. It's a silly little example, but it takes a lot of work to show the overflowing love, doesn't it? Showing love takes work, and that's why Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, prayed that they might continue to be able to show this overflowing love more and more. And learning to have this overflowing love for God, an overflowing love for all of God's creation, it takes work. I don't necessarily think it always comes natural, but thank goodness we don't have to do it alone. Thank goodness we have God to help us in Christ's footsteps, to follow in us in the way of him, to know how to show that overflowing love. Today we're going to be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion, and at the 11 o'clock service we're going to be celebrating a baptism. I think these are two ways that we learn about God's overflowing love for us. As we gather around the communion table and we break bread and we share the cup, we are reminded that all of us are welcome to this table no matter who we are, if we're young or poor or rich or old or black or white or gay or straight or whomever we are, we're reminded that it's an overflowing, expression of God's love for us. It teaches us that we're all beloved in God's sight. We all have worth, we all have value, we are all welcome around that table to break the bread, to experience this means of grace. It's an overflowing love, an overflowing expression of God's love for us. And at 11 o'clock, when we celebrate the baptism, that's another amazing, overflowing love example that God has for us. As we gather in worship and the child receives the baptism of water and then the Spirit, it's a sign and a symbol of that being God's child. And we have this amazing job to help raise this child in the Christian faith and to teach this child how to have overflowing love and joy, but how to have overflowing love more and more. And we get to have that important role to play in this child's life. We get to teach the child how to love and to have a Spirit-filled, joyful life. Maybe you'll be better at it than I am. Maybe you don't have those same Disneyland experiences. Embracing overflowing joy is fun, especially in the summertime, as it's all around us. But friends, we've got to work at having this overflowing love. But thank goodness we don't do it alone. Thank goodness Christ is our guide, and God empowers us to do so. So as we embark on summer, may you have an overflowing joy-filled spirit and have an overflowing heart of love for God and others. Thanks be to God. Amen.